he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Just before we start this week's podcast, a special mention to our sponsor, Apeiron Clothing. If you want to purchase Apeiron Clothing, you can use the discount code BogeyBoys10, receive 10% off all purchases. Just go to www.apeiron-clothing.com.
Check out the new Red Beast.
Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark, as always. This is season 3, episode 15. What do you want to call it?
Day's Day.
Day's Dominant Delight. Day. Dominant Day's Delightfulness. Along those lines, anyway.
We'll come up with something as the show progresses. How's it going, Kevin?
It's good, yeah. Played well. It's not fuming.
Okay.
So.
And escalated.
I know, because I was thinking it was good. I was back, I was playing a competition and like played the blue comp and it was all good. And then I realized before it went out, I didn't have me 20 cards in from the last 15 months that you got to have before and be all.
Oh, that rule. Local
so
rule.
I was like having made with the handicap secretary, giving it the old me names on the board and that. It's like playing a major without target and all that.
And when they're giving you no honorary first tee starts.
Nothing, no. Absolute champ. Loser is what I am. But it was all good anyway because it was a weird round. Like I was hitting it so good.
So this is a major championship off the blue tees?
Yeah, the Stableford champs, yeah. I was hitting it boss, but just like, it was like a birdie or bust. It was
no bogey?
No. I went bogey, birdie, birdie. And then it's like 20-foot three-putted. Then snap hooked into the water, made triple. Then went par, birdie. Then three-putted the next. Then went par, three-put. And my head was just gone.
And I hadn't hit any tough shots.
It was just, I was just hitting it good.
Yeah.
Just hitting it off the tee, getting it down there.
You got to hit it well off the tee on the blues round there, haven't you? Yeah. It's so long.
It changes, like, fourth changes massively and the eighth changes massively. Apart from that.
The eighth.
The eighth is hard.
Oh, it goes right back by the stream, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you've even a good hit. If you hit it down the right a touch, I think the play's down near me. But there's just no trust in someone not taking your ball. But yeah, I think, honestly, the play is from that blue tee down nine.
And then go over the big tree onto the green.
You know, because you can get past the tree, well past the trees. You got more space.
Doesn't that other tree come into play, the one by the green, no?
Yeah, but that's well shorter, isn't it? So you want to be like down nine a good bit and hit it over.
Hit it over that tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, because if you're on the right, you're blocked out by them trees. If you're on the left, you can. If you don't hit it far enough, you're in the trees. If you don't hit it too far, you're in the bunkers. Nah, it's just a safe play. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that on Saturday, go down the... I'm playing the complex, but I'm just not involved in it.
So what do you have to put a card in there?
I put a card in, yeah.
So is it over two rounds, the next round?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had 27 points or something.
Well, how many cards have you got in then, in the last 15 months?
5, 6, 7.
You've got a long way to go then, haven't you?
Yeah. I've got loads of cards there, like. They just need handing in.
Okay.
So. Okay. Well, we'll get it sorted.
I promised myself I wasn't playing until...
I thought you'd give up.
Yeah. Well, I did. And obviously, we know what the weather was like on Saturday. And I wasn't really doing much Saturday afternoon. And one of the lads has just joined Beddington Hall, which is up by the Rainford Bypass. I said, do you want to come down and have a game? I was like, do you know what I do, yeah? Put my shorts on, T-shirt, get out there. And just a bit of a relaxed one. So we went and played.
Golf clothes, like?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't messing about, like.
Well, just when you're saying shorts and T-shirts, I thought you're just banging on, like, some active wear.
I couldn't do that, mate.
No.
I don't think, even if you were allowed to play.
I'm sitting here doing a podcast in golf clothes.
But, yeah, so I turned up. Obviously, no practice before we played, and started double-double. Was back to
dream.
Hating. Back to hating it. But then, do you know what? Sort of loosened off and I shot 9 over total. Chipped in for birdie on 8. That was the highlight of the day. I was getting it well off the tee, to be fair. There was a couple of baddies, but one in particular went straight left on like 13 or 14. It was quite a long hole as well. But I found the ball, chipped out, it's on the green and made a bogey anyway. So damage limitation there. And then I hit two wide right, but it was on holes where you could go right.
Mm.
But other than that, it was all right, yeah. They got off to a shaky start, but one birdie, 9 over total finish.
Why didn't you have... I had 5 birdies in my 82 as well, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Like, that's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. You need to stop them 3-putts.
I know.
You had 4 3-putts there, have you?
5, I had.
5 3-putts?
Yeah.
It's a 77 straight away, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
You take away that one that you snap hooked into the water, 76 off the blues, not a bad score.
I know. Well, that was a triple, though. Bogey would have got me, a double would have got me a point as well. I was stroking next two. So that was a baddie.
Do you only get 2 shots as well?
Yeah.
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 No, so, yeah, do you know what? It gave me the bug again. I'm back, I think.
Nice.
For now.
You can't not be back in the summer for golf. We've got all sorts of new clothes landing every 5 minutes.
I know.
You can't be giving up on me.
What was I thinking? I'm back now anyway. I've had my wobble.
Nice.
So, golf news-wise then, we've got final US Open qualifying taking place tomorrow at Walton Heath.
Right.
It's also the venue of this year's Women's Open Championship.
How'd you get in there?
Qualifying. So you'd have to go through regional qualifying, then into finals. So it's open for 100 players. So the likes of Rich Mansell and players like that will get straight into finals like they do for the Open.
Yeah.
And you'll have a regional qualifiers that happen April, May and June.
Right.
So there's a final 100 spots, 50 tee times, 2 balls across the 2 courses at Walton Heath, the new and the old course. And yeah, 10 spots available for the US Open.
10?
Yeah, 10 out of the 100 players. So it's the first time that this has returned, this format, since 2019. Last year, they trialled the Order of Merit over 5 events or 4 events on the DP World Tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they've gone back to this format now. This is the 15th time.
So is it not for like any old crab then? It's for...
No, you can... amateurs can go in, yeah. You've got
to... Oh, yeah.
The handicap limit is like... I think 1.9 or 1.5 or something. Obviously, it'll get balloted out. But yeah, you can anybody, an amateur pro, can enter the regional qualifiers. And if you get through the regionals, you'll obviously get to finals. You finish in the top 10 out of the 100 and you're playing in the US Open.
Sick, that, isn't it?
Yeah. But they've never done it this way since 2019. It's always been you have to go over to America.
Yeah.
But they've obviously retained it.
I always thought that, like, it was, I thought it had to be over there, yeah?
Yeah, 2019, it used to do this all the time, but this is the 15th time, so obviously 14 times previous. Walton Heath have hosted it, 36 holes, yeah, and then top 10 spots will qualify for the US Open, so.
Good luck to the lads
playing.
Lee Slattery's
playing as well. Lee Slattery's in the finals, yeah, so. A few good names. Robert Roch, I haven't heard of him for a while, but he's doing a lot with his junior tour, isn't he? And
we only hear about him when he's following our podcast page, isn't that, don't we?
But yeah, so I just thought I'd mention that. Keep an eye out. We'll post something on the social media and
yeah, that's boss.
See who gets through that one, yeah.
The Apeiron athletes have been active.
They have.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we spoke about Joe Brooks last week getting a T3.
Yeah,
on the
did.
Clutch. We had Max out there playing in our gear. We had
Hayden
out there. We had... Chappie out there on the Tartan Tour doing well a couple of rounds, and then
Chappie was in final group Tartan Tour, yeah, this week.
Tim Ford, little top 10.
Dan Croft qualified for one of the majors.
There you go,
PGA North event.
Apeiron's getting about the place.
Jack Brooks and Jack McPhail have just been over to the Irish Amateur, haven't they? I think Jack Brooks made the cut and finished 25th. Jack missed the cup by Jack McPhail, missed the cut by 1, I think.
Nightmare.
Yeah, 3 rounds and then a cut in the final round, yeah. But John Goff won again.
Did he, yeah?
The English lad, yeah. Come from 5 behind to win by 1.
So it's not like a match play thing then?
No, 4 rounds, cut after 3 rounds, and then I think it's, I don't know if it's it was a top 30 or top 40.
Sick, that. Play the final round. That again.
Yeah.
He's a beast, him. Anyone else, did he win something else?
Yeah, he won a big one the other week, the other one, didn't he? He's doing very well. Like, he's going to be up there in the amateur world rankings.
Oh, he was in the one over that Aaron Edwards Hill was playing in, money. That's when he won the one, the Portuguese or the Spanish amateur. Did he win that?
Yeah, he did win something big. Yeah, England international, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's more than likely going to be playing Walker Cup this season. Yeah. So I don't know if he's got plans to turn pro or whatever, but He's definitely having a good season, isn't he? Yeah, but yeah, there's plenty going on, like you say, with the appearing athlete there. We've got a couple of lads supporting little Aaron Edwards.
Oh, yeah, Aaron won yesterday. Well, yeah. We've got some kids' range on the way for.
We have, yeah.
To Aaron's, be supporting all the juniors, hopefully, at Formby Hall.
Yeah, Aaron's over playing at the end of this month up in Scotland in one of the European Championships.
Sick.
So Josh was telling me that if he finishes top five in that, he gets an invite over to the World Championships in America.
It's great, isn't it?
It's boss what they put on for the kids these days, these little tours. Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood Academy obviously leading the way for the kids in our area, aren't they? So, yeah.
What did we have? The little Saturday morning comp at Bootle?
If we were lucky, yeah. All fighting for the
8:28
tea time or the 10:04, yeah, on a Thursday.
Crazy, isn't it?
Wouldn't take them back though. They were unbelievable times.
I know. I wasn't really involved in that. We spoke about this. It's a bit of a sore subject, but I used to just go out with me and Chris Bunclark. Get accused of cheating because I used to win
every week. Though it was a bit suspect.
It was.
Kev's won again, has he? Yeah, interesting.
It's just a beast, aren't it? That's it. End of
magicpencil.com.
That's it. Yeah, the wedge.
Yeah. So yeah, the appearing athletes. Obviously, we've given them the new clothing. So obviously, if you follow our social medias, there's another page, the appearing athlete page. Just head over and follow that. That's where we post the majority of the scores and the pictures of the lads playing out on the tour. So we've got players playing on Tartan Tour, Clutch Tour, PJ North Region, and obviously we've got Young Aaron playing the Tommy Fleetwood Academy events, and we've also got a couple of the amateurs.
Do you reckon Niall Horan knows who appeared on what appeared on is?
Why?
Just do you reckon or not?
Well, because of the connection with Clutch.
Well, yeah, it's his tour, isn't it? And like he's
is it?
Is he not? He's something to do with it.
It's something to do with Modest, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's yeah. I think he's high up in it. That definitely.
Is he? Yeah.
We've been through this.
We have, haven't we?
It wasn't him, it was the exact something, but he's definitely some sort of like
I remember when Clutch first come about, there was some sort of connection with Modest, weren't there? But I'm not sure what the connection is, but
what do you reckon then?
Does he know who we are?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
He's right, lad.
Hey, do you know who else we haven't mentioned as well? The G4D Open at Woburn.
Oh, yeah, Woburn. Yeah.
Jason Croucher played, yeah. Brandon Lawler won as well.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, he won the championship, yeah. So.
Seen a lot of negativity coming out about him. Like, loads of people are all very negative comments on the internet. Like,
yeah, he got a
slagging him off.
Yeah, he got a DP World Tour start and just these trolls were all over him, weren't they?
All over him. No, it's fucking disgusting, really, isn't it?
It is. It's a joke, yeah.
Do you know what I mean, but
he's doing well for the game, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He's inspiring a lot of people, and long may that continue. And
he's agreed to a pod with us as well. We just haven't tied him down to a date yet.
There's a few of them floating about, isn't there?
We need to pull our finger out with the interviews.
We need to pull our finger out. We've been an absolute letdown when it comes to the interviews, haven't we?
But well, Hunter Mahan was all right, like, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was sound, to be fair. He's a good substitute, wasn't
he? Yeah. But we'll get him on. We'll get everyone. We'll catch up.
We will, yeah. So yeah, it's interesting times for a Piron and what we're doing in general, isn't it? We've got more polos coming at the end of this month. We've got the women's range, like you say, and talking about amateurs as well. Young Mia Clark.
Oh, yeah. Mia plays at Hillside.
Plays at Hillside, yeah. She just finished the first year over in America and she got All-American honours as well.
Sick, that. What's that mean?
Just means that at the end of the season, the top amateurs get ranked. I don't know how the ranking system works, but basically if you've had a good season and you've done well, then you'll get selected as an All-American.
I've always heard it, like, oh, he's an All-American wrestler or he's an All-American basketball
basically,
player.
Basically, it's just a way to
for say you've done well.
For the best player, because, you know, the way the collegiate system works, you'd have five players, so for talking golf terms, yeah, you'd have a varsity team, you'd have five players, and they'll go out one, two, three, four, five, and I think it's the best three of five cards score towards the tournament,
right?
And then obviously your team would eventually win when they have an individual as well. So then obviously as the season progresses, you'll obviously have the best players within your specific team, but throughout that whole league, they'll have an All-American team. So if you make that team, then you're one of the standout elite amateurs for that year across that league.
Okay.
So to get it as a freshman,
she won it. She got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how much? You only get five people get it.
I don't know the specific number, to be honest. I think it's a lot. I think it's more than five.
Yeah,
That do get the All-American.
Or five in each year or something?
Not sure. No. The specifics. It's different for each division and league. NCAA have a... The NCAA is the main one, because obviously they're the top division, so they're the ones who everybody else follows. That suit really, but I don't know if it changes as you go down. I'll have to look into that a bit more. Come back next week with some All-American news. I was only going to mention it, but I didn't know I was going
to
get
quizzed. Oh, no, yeah, congratulations to me. I don't just thought, in case anyone's listening, they don't know. It's like...
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, there's Google,
There is, but...
I'm only joking.
Really, it's entertaining and inspire.
We are. But yeah, no, so there's a lot going on. There's also a lot going on the DP World Tour. I know we mentioned last week that there was fines handed out.
Yeah.
So more news on top of that is that there's sanctions for 26 players who competed in LIV Golf, an Asian tour event, without releases.
No.
The fees range from $12,500 to $100,000. And there's also suspensions from tournaments that have been handed out as well. In addition to last week, we mentioned...
So these are the ones that obviously haven't resigned and they're just going to get a bit of a more suspension and then you can play?
Yeah, so it'll be these are the repercussions for playing without a release and just go and do what you want as a member. So basically, you've breached the membership is what they're saying. And these are the fines that we're going to hand out based on how serious your breach was.
So the ones who have paid the fine... Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. The ones who've resigned, have they paid the fine as well, or are they resigning to not pay the fine?
Well, I understand. From what I understood was it was only Sergio Garcia that didn't pay the fine initially.
Right.
So that would indicate that the likes of Westwood and that have paid the fine and just resigned.
I see, yeah.
And just washed.
Wasn't Liv taking care of the fines anyway?
There was some form of rumour that they would... I think Greg Norman come out and said that Liv would cover the costs, yeah. But Henrik Stenson as well, news has come out that he's resigned as well. So... Going from Ryder Cup captain to losing your captaincy to resigning from the tour, it doesn't need to go to them levels, does it?
Not at all. No. For playing the same sport.
Yeah. It's just playing a different tour, yeah.
It's a joke.
And just because you're a member, it doesn't mean that they own you.
No.
You should be free to go and play where you want. I understand that you've got to protect your tour, but you should be free to come and go as you please. I understand the live content. We've spoken about this plenty, but I understand why you can't just come and go from LIV, because LIV's a closed off tour. You can't go and play LIV. So if you can't go and play LIV whenever you want, why should you be able to go LIV as a selected 48 and then be able to play wherever you want on the weeks off? Because that's a closed off tour. So I sort of get that argument, but I don't get the argument for Asian tour. If you wanna go and play Asian tour, or I don't know, Sunshine Tour, or you want to play somewhere different for that week, because, I don't know, the course suits you or something like that, you've got to do what's right for your career.
Of course, yeah.
Independent, aren't they? So if, you know, the pace on the international series and the Asian tour is a bit less than the DP World Tour event, but that course suits you, you've got good history on that course, and you think, for my career, I'll go over and play that event, because for me, I could potentially win that. I've got more chance of winning that than I have at this event. But then there's repercussions of doing that, because you've got to ask for a release to do it.
I know, it's just stupid, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But that's all the golf news I've got. What about you?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's just big week, PGA Championship week, isn't it? So
get into
that'll
it.
That'll be a big one, yeah. Let's get into the birdie boogie bus first.
Let's do it.
Or should we say, that time again?
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bus, the birdie boogie bus, birdie boogie bus.
What's your birdie?
Major week, yeah. Can't beat major week, mate. So obviously we'll come on to it later.
It doesn't
in the challenge.
Feel like major week.
I think it does.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it does.
Oh yeah, you're coming off a pot one winner, aren't you, in the fancy league? So that's
absolutely flying, to be honest, mate.
My birdie is when I was reading all the interviews with Jason Day and what he's done, all his injuries, the allergies, the back, everything, all the problems that he's had, is obviously he's world number one. Well, he was in 2015, and he's changed his swing to suit his back, and he's returned to the winner's circle. I just think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, he started working with Chris Como, was it, in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and since then he's obviously, so that's took 3 years transition, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just to get yourself to that position. But you carry on swinging it the way you've swung it for years, which has essentially caused those problems. Because remember the times he was hitting drives 400 yards, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely bombing it out there, and you know, sometimes if your back can't take that, you're going to have to make amendments, aren't you?
Of course, yeah, and it's
testament to the both of them, though. You know,
well, 1,000,000%. But it's it was one thing after another. Wait a minute, remember he had a something up with him where he was allergic to something, and then something else went on. He's had major problems, not just his back.
Yeah,
vertigo was the other one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So and then he obviously not winning for 1800 days or whatever it is. And
5 years, yeah.
5 years, it's like to get back in there. And he's been trending, and he,
like, well, yeah, we spoke about it, haven't we? The pack, like, shall we pick him in the picks? Because can he, can he play for 4 days? But, and that was evident. He was playing well for like three rounds and couldn't put that fourth round together, whether that was because of his back. But he has said since the turn of the, I think it was the turn of last year, that he's playing pain free again. And somebody of that caliber and the way he swings and the way he puts, especially, you know, yeah, it's only a matter of time before he got that win, wasn't it?
And it's also like, if he's like thinking about, well, I'll come on to my bogey here because this is my bogey. He was talking about giving up last year. And if you're thinking about giving up and you can only play selected events,
yeah,
then, you know, there's a certain other tour there, like Live, where you could have went and
yeah,
sailed off into the sunset, but he's kept up the grind and he's won, and now he's won again on the PGA Tour. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
well, bogey is basically, imagine he give up.
Well, he did say, yeah, I'm probably only going to be able to play the majors and a couple more. It was Tiger Woods-esque, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's
I know.
And then now when you see him playing week in, week out, saying he's pain free, it's like, all right, well, let's see how this goes. And now he's challenging and then he's winning. It's just, where can he get to? Can he get back to world number
well,
one?
Well, this is another part of my bogey was when he got to world number one, he said that he literally had blinkers on, like a horse with the blinkers on, getting told to run straight. And that's where you're going to get to. The finish line is world number one. And he done it. He followed what everyone else said. And then when he was like on his way back down, coming from world number one, he was reflecting on how he got there, and he couldn't recall how he done it. So he didn't know how to get back there.
Right.
He was just getting steered and told. Do you know what I mean? It's quite interesting.
And he didn't take it in.
He didn't really understand what he was doing to get him to that point. He was just doing what he was told.
There, isn't there?
I know.
I suppose if he's trending in that direction, the people who are telling them what to do and it's working, you probably are just going to trust that source, aren't you?
Exactly.
Why would you question it?
It's mad one, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, did he ever find it out? Or?
Well, he's reflected now, and he's like trying to rebuild all his swing, and he's had to change it to suit his body and do different work in the gym and change his attitude. And obviously, as you said, his putting there is always fire. He's on his way back up, I think. Not world number one style, but he's gone from
32 to 20, hasn't he? It's the first time he's been top 20 in the world since, I think, 2017-18 or something like
is
that.
It?
So,
yeah.
I think he can definitely get to top 10 in the world, mate.
Yeah, well, 20 there, of course he can, yeah. I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
What's your bogey? We'll come on today and there's tribulations.
Yeah, so mine is Minji Lee's 3-putt.
Oh.
Just the worst way to lose a tournament, back from 20-foot. So, obviously, Minji Lin and Jin Young Ko found themselves in the playoff of the Founders Cup on the LPGA Tour this week. Obviously, Ko ends up getting the win. Makes a par in the first playoff hole, but yeah, Minji Lee from 20-foot has a putt to win the tournament, and then 3-putt and ends up losing the tournament within the space of 5 minutes. So, that was me bogey, just a horrible way to lose. She's come out, and to be fair, she said, obviously, I would have liked to have won. But looking back at my whole year and just assessing where I am and how she did that week, there's a lot more positives than negatives. So
that's how you got to look at it, innit?
Good outlook, yeah.
Yeah.
And she is playing really well, obviously. But it would have been nice to get that one over the line for her. But now Jin Young Ko gets a third win at the Founders.
Third win in the last 5 years,
mm,
which is pretty sick.
Yeah, not half yet. What's your bust?
I don't know if you've seen it. It was all trending on Twitter and all over Instagram when I put the pin positions at the women's or the girls' NCAA on the sixth hole.
Yeah,
it was a 308-yard par 4 playing 1.5 over par. And the players were having to hit it past the hole to try and let it come back in, missing, coming back to the feet. It was crazy golf.
Yeah,
so much to the point they had to take that round out of the standings,
yeah,
and let six more players play the last round.
Yeah, it leaves a bit of a taste in your mouth, doesn't it? Of like, you know, if you win that championship, you know, it doesn't help, does it?
It's stupid that they said they were watering around the hole. They were trying to do anything to make it slower, to make it stop on the green, but this has happened twice now to the women at that younger age, and it's like, are they just not caring, or are they trying to make it hard, or it's mad? That never happened on the PGA Tour.
No, I think things like that, you know, it's probably human error, isn't it?
Mm.
Like somebody's obviously making that decision to put that there because, you know, you do want them to compete in tough conditions to test themselves because it is the major championship for them. So
yeah,
but yeah, like there's a difference between making it tough and making it impossible. And unfortunately, that was impossible.
Well, it's tough, and then it's like it's sort of not even golf anymore when you have to do stuff like that.
No.
So it's just,
even seen on the video, some of them were laughing as in like this is crazy golf type of thing. Yeah.
Well, once you hit it back, going back to your feet twice, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Apart from laugh.
I know.
Crazy. What's your bust?
We spoke about it, I think, last week or the week before. And since we spoke about it, there's been a lot of back and forth on social media with Phil Mickelson calling people out for different things. But it's the Taylor Gooch situation. He's obviously in the field this week to play the PGA Championships.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's no longer able to play the US Open because of the change in criteria. So just to recap what we spoke about, Gooch got a spot in the Open, the US Open and the Masters because the criteria was if you get to the Tour Championships in Eastleigh,
yeah,
you get a spot in those three. He did qualify, but he left for live in June and therefore obviously got banned from the PGA Tour and then was no longer able to compete at Eastleigh. So they changed the criteria wording to say that for those who qualify for Eastleigh and were eligible to play. So obviously, he was deemed not eligible to play because he left LIV and ultimately got the suspension. So the USGA have come out recently and said, carrying on from that, that the USGA annually reviews its exemption criteria for all championships, and we did for the 2023 US Open. Importantly, we provided more clarity to a specific exemption category to reflect that players must be both qualified and eligible for the Tour Championship, beginning with the 2023 US Open. The change was not made retroactively, but rather as part of an annual review process and includes within several of the changes made to the criteria for the upcoming 2023 championship. But the only reason you change that wording is to
exclude, get the people who were on and were going to live, basically.
It's only Taylor Gooch that's affected by it. There was nobody else. It was only him.
Stupid, isn't it?
So, yeah.
So he's going to try and qualify as well, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to go
to the qualifier. So that would be good if he qualifies there. That would be, imagine he won it as well.
Yeah, but my bust is just like decisions like this will impact golf in the long run because it's obviously
stupid.
I know he hasn't had the best return to hometown this week in Live. He finished 38th or something, 36th where did he finish, but he's won back to back. You know, he's playing the PGA Championships. You'd expect them to, his game would be suited around there, wouldn't he? He's quite accurate off the tee and things. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not going to make or break the tournament. There's still going to be, the US Open's still going to be amazing, but I don't know, you want to see the best players compete in the majors, and I think...
Especially if, look, you've done the hard part by getting to the Tour Championships, you've played well all season, it's a just reward for what you've done the season before.
Yeah.
And then you can't do it because of the eligible. The
yeah.
Stupid, mate.
So that was just bringing that back, the bus, because there's been a lot of, I know Phil Mickelson's been going at everybody on Twitter, and people have been going at him, to be fair. Just around the bureaucracy of the whole situation. Yeah, it's getting a bit much, isn't it? But
it is.
Anyway.
Just move on to the LPGA Tour. I know we just spoke about it briefly there, but Jin Young Ko, the man of which she won as well, she overcome a 4-shot deficit on the day and held a 15-foot putt on the last for birdie to get into the playoff with Minji Lee. And that's her 15th win on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, that, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
And then she's joins Lilia Vu as the only player to win multiple times this year on the tour. In and half of, well, $450,000 for the troubles, which is pretty sick.
Yeah, one of the bigger purses, isn't it? Remember last year, the Founders Cup, there was a Aramco series event that clashed, wasn't there? But I think they've changed it now because the Aramco is a bit later on. But no, it was a good tournament. Obviously, Minji Lee as well as 3 putting on the first playoff hole. She bogeyed 17 as well, so it was hers to lose. But no, like you say, it was good when you see someone come back from those type of deficits.
I know. Well, the same nearly happened on LIV as well. Like, DJ was flying with 9 holes to go, and then triple bogeys the 10th.
Yeah.
So then once he's done that, that put Grace one ahead, then he birdied the next, and then he birdied the last to get into a playoff with. And so did Cam Smith with Brandon Grace. Brandon Grace's par on the 18th hole, the regulation play, was enough to give the Stingers the team victory with 4 aces in second. And then obviously DJ birdied the playoff hole to take...
It wasn't going to take him long, was it, to get back in the winner's circle, DJ?
No.
He hasn't really been playing the best, but a good timing as well, isn't it? Just the week before the the next major.
Do you know what? He was going to go with me picks as well, DJ.
Was he?
But I'd already made a big statement about picking Tommy.
Yeah, okay.
So I was like, ah. Oh.
Well, Cam Smith, though, is trending in the right direction. 100%. He's third in the individual standings. Now that's three top tens in a row. Obviously, a runner-up place there. Because he had a bit of a poor start, hasn't he, to be fair to him.
But he's won, though, hasn't he? And he's got a second there. And he's...
Just when you look at last season, obviously what Ram, Scotty Scheffler done, and obviously they've both turned the year and they're still doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Dominating
like
the sport.
You think Smith would have fell down the rankings even if he was on the PGA Tour?
I think the way he's playing, yeah. Whether the politics of what's happened has affected this game, I don't know.
It could be the inactivity as well. I know they're playing a little bit more this year, but it depends if you're streaky. You might want to just be playing all the time.
If you're a competitive golfer and you want to, your form is based on how much competition you play. He did have a long stretch of not playing, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, Brooks Koepka's up to second in the individuals now.
Nice.
Yeah, behind Taylor Gooch. And that concludes the top three. Finished sixth this week. So what do you think of Brooks' chances this week?
Another one. I was looking at all the live players thinking about it, but I don't know. I think maybe Koepka's sort of peaked a little bit for the Masters there and like maybe a bit deflated by what round done to him.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, we're just...
They have had consistent golf since the Masters.
No, they have. Don't get me wrong, they definitely have, but I don't know. It's all to be seen and it makes it for more drama, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But speaking of drama, the TV coverage of Liv, you can always watch it on YouTube or on the app or whatever, but the actual TV on the CW or whatever it's on, it's because there was a weather delay. They finished the final round and put on like season 9, episode 8 of Penn and Teller's Animal Style. The Magicians, like what?
I've seen that, yeah. You've got the Live Plus app, haven't you, that people can stream it on. But yeah, if you're getting a television deal to put it on and then it doesn't show the conclusion,
you think you'd be like up for like weather delays, playoffs, like, you know, they know that it's going to go over sometimes. It's like you don't just have a 4-hour slot and they just start sticking Magicians on after. Like what?
Yeah, very interesting. And there was a lot of people who jumped right on that, weren't there, on the Twitter?
Oh, yeah, not half.
Yeah. Siwin Kim, it's trending.
What's he done now?
Well, first three events, he finished dead last. 48, 48, 48. Then he got a 47th. Then a 45th. And then this week, 43rd. So,
belter.
Keeping an eye on him.
Keep trending up now.
You just never know.
Imagine he won next week or something, and we'd be like, what?
That would be the story of the year, that. That'd definitely be a birdie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so moving on then to the Sodal Open then, over on the DP World Tour. Got a week off this week because of major. US qualifying and the major, yeah. So strong week for Swedish golf this week.
Yeah.
Simon Forsström got his first DP World Tour win. Played his last two seasons on the Challenge Tour. Similar story to Matty Baldwin, really.
He's in
mid-30s, floated around the Challenge Tour for a few years and gets his chance on a DP World Tour and takes the win.
Belter.
Yeah, so another graduate from the Challenge Tour, Swede Jens Dantorp. You've seen him a couple of, when they had the English swing.
He was playing a couple of the events.
He finished second behind his fellow countryman. Again, another guy in his mid-30s. He won on the Challenge Tour last season. Obviously, full rookie season on the DP World Tour. And he's obviously trending in carrying on from his form. He hasn't really started too well, but you know he's more than likely going to kick on from there.
Is it the Ukrainian lad, the young 16-year-old?
Yeah, Lev Grinberg. Yeah,
I was looking at his swing. He's hits it mental, doesn't he?
He missed the cut by one.
Oh,
I know. Needed to birdie the last.
How well does he swing it though? It's unbelievable, isn't it, when you watch it?
He's a superstar in the making, isn't he?
Yeah, you can just tell. Yeah, you can see. Yes, it's so good. He puts well.
Sometimes when they invite people like that to these types of events, they shoot like 80s and 85s and that, but you can just see he made the cut last year and obviously he's missed the cut on the button this year. Same as Alex Fitzpatrick, Alex missed the cut on the button as well, yeah. And then there was hometown favourite Thomas Dietrich as well, playing in the final group. He's definitely a contender for the Ryder Cup this year.
Yeah.
Given his form, obviously.
It would have been nice for him to win in his home home country.
And it
National
would have been
Open.
His maiden win as well. I know. He still hasn't won an event for all his talents. He ends up finishing tied seventh, shot 73. There's only eight players who scored the worst final round. No wonder the pressure got to him on the final day, because the crowds did turn out for him.
Yeah, it seemed in Belgium.
So good event overall. Ewan, I think, finished top 30, 33rd or something like that. So
yeah, he was flying on for Thursday, Friday, wasn't he? And yeah. then he's he got a good start, and then he think he had a double, and he had something else, and he just went to pieces a little bit, but he'll be back.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, keep an eye on the DP World Tour when that comes back. Obviously the National Open's now right the way through, like we mentioned, until the Ryder Cup. So yeah, the only other thing to mention then is obviously onto Jason Day, the AT&T Byron Nelson then.
Yeah, well, I had four made cuts in the fantasy league first time. Oh, yeah. Boom. We popped four, actually done the best.
Did you win?
No, did you?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I picked Jason Day and I had a pot three, top 20 in Carson Young. And then I had my pot four, Trevor Cohn, finished 23rd, one shot out of the top 20. And again, Dylan Wu, another time where players of mine have missed the cut by one shot on the button. So that could have been an unbelievable.
There were 60 players who could have won that at one point, wasn't it?
It was ridiculous, wasn't
like,
it?
Like, what?
Going into the back nine there, you had obviously Day, Scheffler, CT Pan. They were all up there, like, with a chance to win.
I know, it was boss, wasn't it? Just thinking there, you know, Jason Day, obviously world number one, and like he had a streak from February 2015 to May 2016, where he won eight times. Got to world number one.
Yeah.
That was including the PGA Championship as well in the middle of that. Do you think he's like one of the most underrated world number ones? Or unappreciated as for what he'd done?
Yeah. I think he's the forgotten man, isn't he? Because unfortunately, after he'd done that, what he'd done, and he dominated the sport for a while, for those 12, 18 months, when he started to fade off and sort of hit that bad spell, you had the likes of a Jordan Spieth coming through.
Yeah.
Like, of all these younger players. So, like, you got all these young, fresh players, Justin Thomas coming through. And off the back of that, you had, like, all your Scotty Schefflers and John Rahms and all these coming through. It's like the talent pool was so big, so quick.
I know.
You're right, he was like the forgotten man, but it's sort of justifiable because of how his form went, which is no fault of his own. He got an injury. You can't do nothing about that. But that was his 13th win in 13 years. So on an average, you're thinking a win a year, but he hasn't won for 5 years. And like you said, he's had eight wins in such a short space of time.
Yeah, that's
his rise to the top was phenomenal.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So
yeah, I thought when I was watching it there, Scotty Scheffler opened up with 264s. You're like, this is gonna walk.
6 under 2.6 on the first day.
I thought he was gonna walk it, did you?
Yeah, did, yeah, definitely.
I know.
So somebody that of that caliber and the way he's been playing all season, the only thing that would stop him was a 9 under bogey free final round 62.
Crazy,
you know,
three birdies in his last five holes to get the job done.
Birdie the last,
and then Siwoo Kim as well was shot 8 under and was like birdie the last as well. It's like, what? Like, what? Siwoo Kim's probably thinking, what do I have to do around here?
You just can't take your foot off the pedal, can you? At this level, you make one mistake or one lack of concentration, that's it, you're done for. Yeah, but it was nice that, obviously, you know, he lost his mother last year. It was nice that he won on Mother's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, boss.
Yeah, nice little...
And then, do you know what, as well? It's the scene of his first ever win, that obviously different course, but the Byron Nelson was where he got his first win in 2010.
Yeah.
So to come back around full circle after 5 years to win there,
yeah,
it's boss.
It was boss, yeah. It's like it was written in the stars from you.
Yeah. 62 to win, you can't really...
It's a way to win, isn't it?
That, can you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's you going to take the win, isn't it? That's not.
Yeah.
That's not somebody.
No one's blowing up or giving you
the. Like the Minji Lee situation, is it? Where she's had the victory there, and you know, the other things have happened. He's gone out and he's took the title, hasn't he? Which was phenomenal. Austin Eckrout, I want to speak about him. This is only his second full year.
63, didn't he, on Saturday? Just pung himself right into the mix.
Yeah. It's his second full year as a pro. He turned pro after the Walker Cup in 21, the same one that Alex Fitzpatrick and that played in.
Yeah.
He's only 24 years old. He had a fifth place finish at the Corrales Punta Cana after 6 missed cuts in a row, then went on to miss another 2 missed cuts. And obviously then he's up there again, had a chance of winning this week. I know that's a bit of inconsistency, but when he makes a cut, he seems to be challenging.
Yeah.
So it's either one or the other. I don't know, just...
Probably just finding his feet in that, isn't he? And just getting amongst it and realising what to do sort of thing. And then...
I was going to say, do you think he's one of these rising stars like
I'd say,
straight out the uni?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This is his first full season. He's challenging against the like of Scotty Scheffler and Day and players like that.
1,000,000%. But you got to remember, Scotty's only young as well, isn't he? Like, it's mad. Yeah. You forget how young he is, don't you?
Feel like he's been around for ages, haven't he? But there's so many players under the age of 30 now who just keep winning.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
The likes of Justin Thomas is a veteran now, and he's only, what, 30, early 30s, isn't
he? Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, like
they come on the team so young, everyone knows them from like 16, 17, even younger.
Come on and win, that's the thing.
And that's it, yeah, ready to rock.
Ready to rock, yeah. And then obviously, just before we move on to the PGA Championships and our picks for this week, Tyrrell Hatton records another top five finish.
Yeah, he's been playing well, hasn't he?
Can he get the job done this week?
Oh, I just don't know about that.
Why?
He's just too blow-up-y, and he's just too angry. I don't think he really understands how to like keep it calm and put it together for the four rounds in a major.
Now, as we come on to the PGA Championships now, it is going to be one of those courses where you have to be patient this week, innit?
Yeah, well, judging on some of the past scores around there, which we'll come on to, it's like it's scary.
Yeah. Oak Hills Country Club then for the second major of the year, the PGA Championships.
Already two majors down nearly. It's like it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's only August the season finishes. It's only 3 months away.
I know. It's like, what?
And then we're done on a PGA, obviously, the DP World Total. Carry on. I know we've got the newly announced
fall
season for the for the PGA Championship. But again, all changed next year. But last time it was at the Oak Hills Country Club, Jason Duffner. Won 2013. He shot 7 under course record before eventually winning with a score of 10 under.
Yeah,
which is unheard of for this place. It can get really tough.
Well, the time before, no, AJ Haas won with 7 over.
Yeah,
so like, and it's mad, isn't it? But they've fully reconfigured the golf course as well. It was going to play totally different from 10 years ago. They've added 260 yards. Changed all the greens and changed the bunkers as well to make them deeper. So you might see a lot of like sideways chipping out.
Well, that's it. You've got that to contest with. They've strategically placed the bunkers for the bigger hitters as well. So it's already a long track. We know that.
And the rough.
The rough's up. You've got a new drainage system on there so they can increase the pace of the greens. And what you've just mentioned there, the elevation and the slopes that they've put on. There's a lot of runoff areas now, so if they do make those greens hard and fast with the drainage system, you could see a lot of good shots being punished with the runoffs, and then obviously very reliant on the short game.
I hope there's no pin positions like that NCAA one, but it's emphasis on short game as well, especially it's missing in the right spots as well, and also hitting the fairway, because not so much length, but just fairways hit, because it'd be so much easier to control the ball and keep it safe, because like round the green, it's like I've seen a video, this fella drops the ball and it literally goes in from there and it goes down like a good, he puts his whole finger in, it's up to like his knuckle or past his knuckle.
I don't know, you
so
say
it's dangerous.
I've gone a bit differently. You say it's not about distance. I get what you're saying with the you know, they have strategically placed the bunkers, the roughs up, so there is a premium for hitting the fairway, but the further back you are with those slopey greens, you know,
obviously further up there's better, but they've funneled all the fairways down to like 25-yard gaps at some point to where the longer this is going to be.
Yeah.
So it's like really punishing the bigger this is, or really rewarding them. Because obviously if you're in the fairway, you're flying around here, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I've gone this week for, was it before we go on to that, we've got the two par fives on this course. They both measure over 615 yards. I think there's 8 par 4s that are over 465 yards. So like you say, accuracy is key because of how difficult it is if you do miss. But, you know, there's also, they've just got to play a key part. So I've gone overall strokes gains off the tee, which takes into account distance and accuracy. I've gone approach from over 200 yards. Bogey avoidance, because as I mentioned before, being patient round here is going to be critical.
Yeah.
And the final one, scrambling, because of these runoffs and because there's going to be some good shots that are going to be punished. You're going to have to rely on your short game a lot, chipping and putting and getting up and down from sometimes from difficult spots with high elevation. So
I've done the sort of the same thing. I've gone for like approach to the green, and I've gone for driving accuracy, and I've gone for greens and regulation.
Okay. Yeah. So accuracy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think hitting greens around the year is key. That is a massive key, because the rough is just a joke.
Should we do it then?
Let's get into it.
So, 245 points I got last week.
Wow.
Week before, I got 60. So I'm on 305 points. I think the only person beating me is Richard Healy going into this final week.
Really? But
this week, we've got the, because it's major championship week, we're going to be giving away a £50 appear on gift card to the lowest point scorer. We're also adding an additional prize for the winner this week, which is going to be 12 TP5 golf balls, tailor-made golf balls. So they'll
very
be added
generous
to the prize for the winner. Yeah. So it's nearly £100, depending on where you get your TP5s from. £100 worth of prizes.
Yeah, sport anyone would be made up with all that, like, anyway.
For your first place, yeah. So a lot riding on this week, because this is also the final week of the May order.
Right, yeah. So it's like double prizes.
This is it. So if you win it all this week, you could be walking away with £50 cash, £50 appear on gift card, and 12 brand new TP5 tailor-made golf balls.
Not bad for £4.
There you go. Second place will also win the... Second place overall for the May Order of Merit will also win £30 appear on gift card. So plenty of prizes to give away. There's still time for people to just sign up and play this weekend. There's 100%. Plenty of points to play for from now until the end of the season. We've still got 11 game weeks, with 12 including this week to play for. So plenty of points for the overall as well. And you can still get included in the June, July and August monthly Order of Merits, which you've just mentioned there then. So
yeah, man.
Straight into it, pot one.
Go on. Do you want me to go or are you going to go?
Well, I know yours.
Yeah,
Tommy
Fleetwood, 51st in the world. 51st in the FedEx, sorry, 23rd in the world. Didn't realise he was 23rd in the world, did you?
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I knew he was round and about that, but I thought he'd be a bit lower me for some reason.
Lower?
Like further down, yeah.
Yeah.
Like 30-odd.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? I think he's had
he had a couple of good finishes lately.
He had a couple of top tens, hadn't he, yeah.
So 60-1 he is, and it's obviously Rory. Rory's a member here, isn't he, as well? So yeah. Spieth going for the Grand Slam. It's like there's loads of like things that were steamy because I made a big statement about picking Tommy. I thought I'll have to go with him. But his stats do back up as well. It's like his 9th strokes gained, and he's 66 off the tee, which are not the best, but 21st.
66.
Strokes gained off the tee, yeah. And he's 72nd in total driving. So mediocre really for pot one, but his 21st strokes gained approach, 21st putting, but then he's 168th in greens and regulation. So if he just sharpens his ball striking up a little bit, I think he's going to have a chance. I know
goes against every stat you've just mentioned.
I know. Well, do you know what the problem was? I've committed to Tommy.
Okay.
So I just had to pull it up, and I was disgusted when I seen that. I was disgusted when he was 168 in Green's regulation, so he better be out there sharpening that them irons.
I've gone John Rahm. I mentioned it when he won Augusta.
Boring.
I mentioned it when he won Augusta. I think he's got the game to win all four.
Yes.
And I think if there's ever a time for somebody to do it, it's now. This course sets up perfectly for him. Stroke gained off the tee, 16th. He's 10th in driving distance, 312 yards. Third in bogey avoidance. He's only made 11.25 bogeys all season. He's first in birdie average. Fourth in approach over 200 yards, averaging 47 foot. And he's 28th in scrambling, 65.5% of the time. But again, in his defence, he's second in greens regulation, so he doesn't miss many greens anyway.
I thought he was first in greens regulation.
He was, but he's second now.
Who's first, Scheffler?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my pot two, I've gone with Brendan Steele. So I know he doesn't hit it that far. 161st in the FedEx, 141st in the world, 250-1. Strokes gained, 74th. But strokes gained off the tee, he's 22nd. He's 11th in total driving.
He's always been accurate, hasn't
he? Yeah, and he's 12th in approach, 4th in greens and regulation, and he's 4th in proximity as well.
Yeah, he's very accurate. Yeah.
So if he's that accurate, and if he, I listened to an interview with the head pro at Oak Hill, and he was talking about where he funneled in the fairways, like I was mentioning there. Some of them are going to be 25 yards wide. So these players who obviously he doesn't hit it far any week, so he's used to it in longer clubs in, and he's still 4th in greens and regulation. So he's just adapted his game to with 5 irons instead of wedges or something. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, actually, he's used to being so far back, and these courses are set up 7-5, 7-4 every week. You know, he's going to be used to going in with, like you say, 5, 6, 7 irons. So probably if his proximity is 4th, he's obviously very accurate.
And his greens and regulations. So he's he's my boy.
It could be a good one because, you know, if some players do adopt the approach of not going towards those funnels and laying a bit further back, these players aren't used to hitting those irons into greens. They're used to hitting wedges, 9 irons, 8 irons. So it could impact them. Yeah, you could see Brendan Steele have a good week.
I would like that.
I wouldn't.
Who have you gone for?
Brian Harman I've gone for.
Ah, right. He's another papa.
Yeah, he is. He is. And I was worried about the distance because I was...
Honestly, the way that fella was talking and he was saying about the score, he was like, I'd be surprised if it was double digits under.
Yeah, it's all about patience, isn't it? So, not making too many.
It's going to be the hardest major.
Yeah, definitely. He's 17th in strokes gained off the tee. He's 6th in bogey avoidance, so doesn't make many mistakes, Brian Harman. He's 5th in scrambling. He's 67.55%. Like I mentioned there, it does worry me his distance. He averages 294 yards. So I wouldn't say he's a papa, but he's 7th.
Well, tour average is 297, isn't it? So he's still close to average,
isn't he? Exactly, yeah. So 7th in accuracy. He's just under 70%. So, you know, the way I've looked at picking Brian Harman is he might be a bit further back, but even if he does miss the greens, he's 5th in scrambling anyway. He's 6th in bogey avoidance, so he's not going to be making many big numbers. And he's 21st in greens and regulation. So if you consider all of those statistics, even though he's going to be a bit further back, his game is well suited to a course like this.
Yeah, no, it's... As I just said then, with that... I can't remember the club, the guy's name, who's the pro. It's evaded me, but he literally said, honestly, since what Bryson done at the US Open...
Yeah.
He's like, they've really, really put an emphasis on over that 300-yard mark of really getting the rough up and making it more difficult to bomb and gouge.
Yeah.
So.
Pot three, then.
So, pot three, I've gone for Emmanuel Grillo, 54th in the FedEx, 78th in the world, 300-1. Coming off a run of a few good results as well, 7th at the RBC, 5th in Mexico, 23rd at the Wells Fargo. His greens and regulation, 35th. Driving accuracy, he's 51st. Total driving, 28th, 43rd in approach to the green. And strokes getting total, 77. So he's around about that middle of the pack sort of thing. So a bit of a better week. Could see him up there, top 20. But for pot three, that's all you want, isn't it?
And I think this week especially, like pot three and pot four, you know, it is going to be very reliant on how many mistakes they don't make.
That's it.
Because if you start racking up big numbers, it's going to be over par the cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you just need to make sure that you're not too far away.
What do you think the winning score will be?
Well, I think because of the talent of these players these days, like how well Rams and that are playing, I think you could get a 13 under me.
Do you? See, I'm going to go out on a whim here.
Go on.
Because of the weather.
Yeah, I suppose
I'm gonna say
it's bad, isn't it?
Level par is gonna win this.
Level par. Interesting. Do you know what? The course has got that in it. It just depends. The first 2 days weather's okay, but the weekend it's lashing down.
See, I think it's gonna be like
a
little
as well.
It's cold. It's May. The rough's stickier. The rough's grown bigger. The way they set it up with the bunkers, I think that like someone will get ahead. I think like a Rahm or a Scheffler maybe, or like a Tommy will have a good few rounds.
7 unders the course record. So nobody's going like 8, 9 unders, are they?
Yeah, so I'm thinking if they have a little 2 under, 3 under, get to 5, and then have a little 2 over, like 3 over, and they get it back to level, yeah.
Interesting. Do you know, we haven't seen a tournament like that for a while. It would be good to watch, I think.
I know, it makes it... Remember me and you used to have this argument, so I was saying I like birdies, but now we've seen enough birdies, haven't we? So let's see a bit of grind out of them. Yeah,
let's see them struggling. Yeah.
I mean, we could sit here next week and it would be 25 unders. It's like, what's going on there? But,
well, that's the talent of them. You know, they can go out and they could probably rip this up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if John Rahm goes 6 under, 6 under, 6 under, 6 under and
wins
shoots it by a million.
16 under.
Quick math.
Go on then.
Adam Schenk.
Right.
Yeah. Strokes gained off the tee, 97th. So not the best, but it was in green. So that's a positive. Average off the tee is 305 yards. So he's got the distance to compete here. 58th in bogey avoidance, which is in the top half. So again, another one who doesn't make that many mistakes. 29th in scrambling. He's 65% up and down. And but what also made me look at him, because it was between him and Grillo. I did look at Grillo.
Right, okay.
And I was comparing them both. But with Schenk, he's 11th in scrambling from less than 10 yards, 95.5% of the time he gets up and down from inside 10 yards from the pin. So that
10
was what...
yards? I think, yeah. I'm 95% from 10 yards.
You're definitely not. You can't even two putt from 9 yards.
Well, that's what I mean. When I've got my chipper.
Yeah, so on the approach from 200 yards, he's 83rd, averaging 53 foot. So I think he's a middle of the packer. Be really happy if he makes the cut, but has got potential for a top 20, top 10 if he's on point.
Right.
Especially around there. So we'll see what happens. It's a tough one because the course is set up so difficult, and these players in pot 3 and pot 4, they're not playing the best. So
no.
Let's see, pot 4, what have you got?
So I've gone for Luke Donald. I've had him on my pot 4s a couple of times. Yeah. I like Donald because his stats...
Steady Eddie, isn't he?
Yeah, his stats... I think, so there's two par 5s over 600 yards, isn't there? And
over 615, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so well, Luke Donald is 2,500 to 1 as well, which doesn't really say much for like Paddy Power or Bet365 are not thinking very highly of him.
No.
But is from 75 to 100 yards... 50 to 125 yards and under 100 yards, he's first in all three of them categories. Approach.
Okay.
So I'm thinking if he lays up on the par fives, he's got a good thing because
he'll have to lay up.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. He'll have to lay up 1,000,000%. But obviously, if something happens, he doesn't lay up, or even on the par fours, if he has to chip out or whatever, is that good from them yards? Just that he could scramble it round.
Yeah,
and he's 29th in proximity, and he's 31st in strokes gained approach, and then he's 20th in putting, and he's 4th in one putt percentage. Right, so his short game is flames.
You need that
flame emoji.
Here. Yeah.
So
you do need that round here. Yeah.
You do. So I think all that, he's 70th in scrambling. All that's good for a mate. Cut that.
Yeah, I think so.
Who are
I've
you?
I've gone Trey Mullinex.
All right. Okay.
I've never picked him before. Same with Adam Schenk. Never picked him. Strokes gained off the tee, 100.
It's mad that because last week you made a big statement about sticking with your pots and your guns, and
know,
you
yeah.
got a win, and yeah. you're top point scorer, and now you've gone totally against it.
Yeah, but this is because it's a totally different track, this, isn't it? It's the difficulty of it.
Listen, I'm just going on what you said.
I'm top of the league, mate. Don't worry about me. Strokes gained off the tee, 112th. 15th in average off the tee, though, 311.4. So I looked at a lot of them, and Trey Mullinex's distance was what swayed me towards him. He is 157th in scrambling, so goes against the scrambling statistics. Nowhere near as good as Luke Donald, but...
We're just a big walking contradiction, aren't we, really?
No, but... so he's still getting 57% scrambling.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So the percentages can knock you right down, so... But he's from the fringe. He's saved. He's got up and down 25 out of 26 times this season.
Sick.
So, you know, if he does get them in the runoffs, you're confident that he's going to be able to get them up and down. He's 68th in approach from over 200 yards. So he's got better statistics than Schenk in that. He averages 52 feet. But again, another worrying statistic for Trey Mullinex, which was making me think, do I pick him, do or not? You know how difficult pot four is bogey avoidance. He's 187th. And since he tied 8th at Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer, he's missed 6 of his last 7 cuts.
Brilliant. Hope that trend continue. Long may that trend continue now that he's your pot four. Sorry, Trey.
There's a couple of things, there's a couple of things there that got me towards Trey. It's his distance off the tee, the way he is around the fringe of the green. His approach from 200 yards and the fact that he performed well at Bay Hill, which is a really tough track.
Yeah.
And this is a really tough track. Low scoring winners at Bay Hill. There's going to be a low scoring winner here. Maybe he likes the tough ones. I don't know. But he hits it long enough. It's just whether he's, you know, missing 6 out of the last 7 cuts. You're obviously not ripping it, are you? So,
no. But he's in there. He's in it to win it, isn't he? So.
Interesting one, yeah. So anyway, that's the pot anyway.
Yeah, perfect.
Looking forward to... Major number 2.
It's boss major, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not on better.
There isn't really. I'll be watching every minute of it.
Can't wait.
That I can. And we'll be back next week to chat a bit more about who wins. Hopefully John Rahm. followed by Sammy. Brian Harman second, Adam Schenk third, and Trey Mullinex fourth.
Hopefully not.
But we'll catch you all soon anyway.
Ciao.